can a church possibly sustain its deep passion for God over generations of time? The answer is found in a statement Paul made in 1 Corinthians 15 and 16. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain. And then he added, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, play the man, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll points to this passage as the quintessential guide for churches and ministries alike.
Some of you heard of my reading the book, The Explorers, by Martin Dugard. One of the best books I read last year. Not a Christian book, but a great book on what it's like to be an explorer. And in the book, the author offers seven traits of all explorers. And they seem to come in this order. I remember thinking about them and memorizing the list. Listen to them. Curiosity, hope, passion, courage, independence, self-discipline, and the last is perseverance. He said, remove any one of them and quite likely the expedition fails. You move through life, there must be that crowning trait of perseverance. Many of you are great examples of it. You have persevered through difficult times of suffering, sicknesses that have invaded your family and attacked your own home. You've gone through the loss of a job or whatever may be the major test of your life. You've remained immovable. I have no idea what trials we'll face, what surprises are on the horizon, what challenges our culture will throw at us. But all the more important that we stand firm in doctrinal fidelity, financial accountability, ethical integrity, moral purity, strong in the scriptures and unswerving in our convictions. If we are not, we will change. Erosion will kick in. So immovable is a part of this necessary list, if you will. It is in mind perseverance. So here we are, steadfast, immovable. I'm so grateful that the word abounding appears because it adds a spark of enthusiasm. This says always abounding. Always enthusiastic, going the extra mile, keeping a positive attitude, thinking and often saying yes to opportunities, getting rid of words like adequate and mediocre and just enough to get by. This will come out in our friendliness to one another and to those who gather to worship here, our willingness to adapt and adjust, a welcoming spirit in our evangelism, in our music, in counseling, and our work with new members, and this whole sense of contagious joy. I don't think there is a more beautiful sound in a church than laughter. Laughter has left many a church, and I regret that, and a spirit of excellence, that whatever we do, let's do eagerly to help others and to be of assistance to them. It may seem a strange example, but I think of the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. I've had the privilege of being a guest there, and I will tell you, it is remarkable to be around those who serve at that hotel. Their favorite words are, my pleasure. Whenever you ask, could you do so? My pleasure. Rather than, okay, or later on, when I have time, or we're busy, it's my pleasure. And in fact, you know the motto? They are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. Isn't that great? We ought to steal that motto and make it ours. Ladies and gentlemen serve, well, I don't mean steal, we didn't borrow it. Perpetually, we could borrow it. And the late Howie Hendricks and I were guests in a Ritz-Carlton hotel with our wives, and we were on our way down a hallway after having finished lunch together. And as we walked along, having fun with each other, a lady walked up and said, "Are you gentlemen all right? Do you need anything?" And we said, "Well, we're fine, but thanks for asking. My pleasure," was her response. Walked a little further, went around a corner, and a guy walked up, had a tray of hors d'oeuvres. He said, would you like nibble on something here? And we said, "No, we just ate, but thank you. My pleasure. Just want to be sure you don't need anything." When he left, Howie Hendricks looked at me and said, "Is this heaven? Are we in heaven?" No, we're in a place where they are abounding. We're enthusiastic about doing what they're doing. And that's what we must have as a part of our DNA. The excitement of knowing we are able to minister to other people, doing it with great delight. How different from the experience of a humorist who was also a public professional speaker named Robert Henry. I read about him some time ago. He was on the lookout for a pair of binoculars. Didn't have a pair, so he decided to drop by a discount department store to pick up a pair of binoculars. As he walked up to the appropriate counter, he noticed he was the only customer in the store. Behind the counter were two salespersons. One was so preoccupied talking to Mama on the telephone that she refused to acknowledge that Robert was even there. At the other end of the counter, a second salesperson was unloading inventory from a box under the shelves. And growing impatient, Robert walked right down by her, stood by the counter, and stared. Finally, she looked up, saw Robert, and said, "You got a number?" He said, I got a what?" Trying to control his astonishment, she said, "You got a number. You got to have a number to be waited on here." Robert replied, "Lady, I'm the only customer in the store. I don't need a number. Can't you see how ridiculous this is?" She failed to see the absurdity and insisted Robert take a number before agreeing to wait on him. By now, it was obvious to Robert that she was more interested in following procedures than helping a customer. So he went over and pulled a number from the little machine. He got number 37. So he walked back to the salesperson, and with that, she promptly went to her number counter, which revealed the last customer she had waited on was number 34. So she screamed, "35! 35! No one answers. So she goes, "36! 36! Then she goes, "37? I have number 37, he said. And she said, without cracking a smile, "May I help you?" To which he replied, "No thanks," and walked out. While we're having a little fun with that story, and we should laugh because it is absurd, we can get like that as a church. Listen to me. You can get so involved in finding your parking place, or so disturbed because somebody else took it, or sat in your seat, or somehow broke out or broke away from what has been a long-standing policy, that you forget to abound. Don't think people don't notice that. I can get to the place where I'll say, "I've been shaking hands with people for, 110 years, it feels like. So when I come in, I'm not going to talk to anybody. I don't have time. I'm tired of them. Everybody wants something. I'm going to come sit down and just leave me alone. It won't take long before they all do that. And so will folks who come to a church that's more interested in policy than people. Don't ever forget this. No one is obligated to come or even return to this place unless there's a reason to do so. We play a vital part in this. This is addressed to people. The Corinthians obviously are readers who are reading a letter just as we at Stonebriar are reading it. And he says, you are to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Stay enthusiastic about it. And I know that at times it can be challenging. I understand that. I realize that it's just the nature of our lives to weary at times of you know, reaching out and taking a few extra moments to be real friendly. And you kind of want us to come in, sit down, leave me alone. I want to get preached to and I want to leave. But it's not like that. I was ministering to a group of people in Venezuela. It was a group of missionaries. They're wonderful folks. There must have been maybe 50, 60 of them in this one area. And they really enjoyed the work of ministry and one another. They all had a great sense of humor. And once a month, they had what they called a fun night. Get this. On the fun night, many of them put on the garments that had been sent to them by their churches back home and had a little style show. Several of them were dirty, had been sent to them soiled. A number of them had buttons missing. Some were hats that were in style about 1934. The worst case was a can of used tea bags. And they called it fun night. They had more fun. They said, look at this. Wow, look at this outfit. I mean, he looked like a prisoner wearing this thing as he walks around in what he's got. But they were enthusiastic about serving. They didn't let little things like that get them down. That didn't turn their heads toward a pity party. There's always something that can offend someone. Great peace of they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119, 165. Nothing will offend you. Always abounding without offense. It's essential. The contagion of this ministry revolves around the enthusiasm of those of us who are a part of it. I have a friend who said he learned to preach, and one of the best things he learned from a preaching mentor was to preach on tiptoe. Preach on the balls of your feet. As you lean forward with this sense of passion and enthusiasm, because if you're not enthusiastic about it, I guarantee you those who are listening to you won't be either. Well, here we go, steadfast, immovable, always abounding, and now confident, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Love the words, not in vain. Being confident of this, we are energized to do and to be the very best we can do or be, regardless of that involvement, knowing that the Lord notices, he records, he remembers, and he rewards. Right in the margin of your Bible, Hebrews 6:10. The next chance you get, look it up. God is not unjust to forget your labor of love which you have shown toward the saints, in that you have ministered to the saints and do continue to minister. He's not unjust to forget. No matter what you do, it's being remembered, it's being recorded, and it will be rewarded. Count on it. See what it says? Knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. When you allow the truth of this to permeate your thinking, Nothing done in the name of the Lord is in vain. It'll change your entire attitude. It'll change it. If we hope to sustain the dynamic ministry that God has allowed us to begin, we must be steadfast, immovable, abounding, and confident. Steadfast, immovable, abounding, confident. You say the words with me? Steadfast, immovable, abounding, confident. Remember, no ministry is promised perpetual significance or success. We will not be what we are today 10 years from now if we miss the mark on these essentials. We will change. And before you can blink, we'll realize it's no longer our pleasure. And not only are not other lives changed, our own life has become adrift. I purposely waited until now to call your attention to verse 14. Look again. Let all that you do be done in love. Did you read that so quickly that you missed the word all? All that you do, you need to love it. You need to love doing it. You need to love those you're doing it with and love the one who made it possible for you to do what you're doing, the Lord Himself. I want you to close your Bible. Stop all the writing. If you've written anything, close it off. I want you to sit there with your closed Bible in your lap, and I want you to listen. I want you to hear a paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 13, and I want you to read it into what you have heard in this message and see how it applies in that we let all that we do be done in love. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I am nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all His mysteries, making everything plain as day, if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I am bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like any infant. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist, but it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. We'll see it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing Him directly just as He knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God. Hope unswervingly. Love extravagantly. And the best of the three is love. Whew. Convicting words. Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes, and think. You've heard enough to know that we are, as a country and as a society, heading in the wrong direction. But thankfully, our church does not take its cues from either. But to be strong, we must be steadfast, immovable, abounding, confident, filled with love all the way through. What a difference we can make. Are you sure that you know Christ? Are you sure that He is alive and well? You sure that if you died tonight, you'd step into heaven with the living God? If you're not sure, it's a great moment to make sure. Trust in Him now. Turn to Christ. Invite Him to take first place and to begin a work of change in your own heart. You may know the Lord, but your life has forgotten about it lately, and you have to admit that you've not really been what you should have been in many of these areas. Maybe this is a great time for you to lay that before Him, confess it, tell Him you want Him to take over. And while you're thinking about all of this, would you remember to pray for our church in these days? We be a body of people that are attractive, authentic, welcoming, forgiving, gracious, filled with love for what we're doing and for people that we are doing it with. Oh, Lord, we're all convicted as we hear these words, and we all want the same thing. We want this ministry to sustain far beyond our years. We want it to be done well and to be done right and with a right attitude. May we prepare ourselves by humbling ourselves before You, our mighty God, asking You to teach us, change us, begin today to use us as never before. And now to Him who is able to guard us from stumbling and to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding great joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power forever and ever and ever. All God's people said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. Today's relevant message from Chuck Swindoll was delivered to the congregation at Stonebriar Community Church in Frisco, Texas. He titled his sermon, Encouraging Essentials for a Dynamic Ministry. To purchase the CDs for this series or find downloadable audio files, go to insightworld.org and look for the series titled Cultivating a Dynamic Ministry. We often hear from listeners who tell us that they're looking for a local church that upholds these same biblical virtues. Well, I'm pleased to say that Insight for Living has set aside a CD on this practical topic. It's a message Chuck delivered titled Body Life at Its Best. And on this CD, Chuck provides the biblical model for the modern-day church and helps us understand how to cultivate healthy relationships with those in the family. Whether you're looking for a new church home or you'd like to deepen your engagement in your church, ask for a copy of this free CD titled Body Life at Its Best. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/life. This offer is only valid in the United States. We're always looking for ways to reinforce our partnership with those who invest in this ministry. And today, we're pleased to provide the brand new 2018 wall calendar when you give a donation of any amount. Next year's theme dovetails naturally with today's message. It's called My Little Children Love One Another. Each month features a stirring photograph of someone in the body of Christ expressing Christian love, combined with a thoughtful scripture verse. And of course, there's plenty of room to keep track of your personal appointments and special occasions. Time is running out to request your copy, so be sure to respond today. If you're listening in the U.S., call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. Remember, when you give, you're investing in this mission to bring the love of Christ to people right here in your community and even around the world. Thank you for entrusting your contributions to Insight for Living. Join us again Wednesday when Chuck Swindoll starts a new series on the life of Abraham, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Encouraging Essentials for a Dynamic Ministry, was copyrighted in 2016 and 2017, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.